see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad. And the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. The prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
And welcome to the Bible study at Watchmen for Jesus program again. And welcome back for this segment of the Bible study of the Watchmen for Jesus program. The Bible study. You know, I was reading what somebody wrote recently about of the Bible, and I'll share it with you. It says that this amazes me. The Star of David is from the Jews, which it's not, of course. The Bible is written by man, and there are accounts of Jesus and God. And King James Bible is a collection of books that King James thought would be acceptable to the public. Oh. People like that don't know their history at all. Even the evidence proves that completely wrong. The Star of David is not of the Jews. The menorah, the candlestick symbol, is of the Jews. The Star of David is a crest of Solomon. And the Star of David is a hexagram. And Bible was inspired by God to mankind. And never get this right. And the King James Bible came from God. God don't have fingers. You see, So he uses man, and Moses split the water, but only through God's power did he do that. Moses didn't do it by himself at all. Moses was just the middle guy, you see, you might say. And some people say, well, sometimes we could be too heavenly minded to any earthly God or any earthly good. Family, these churches have failed miserably. Miserably. Absolutely miserably. And God's going to hold those preachers responsible in a bad way if they don't repent. I mean, it's very, very serious. And people are playing around with this, not taking it serious, but it's going to send many to hell for an eternity because these preachers have failed in their job. One of the best evangelists ever was recently in recent history was David Wilkerson. Now, he was real. He was real. And if you explore his death in research, you'll come to a conclusion of your own, but check it out, that he was murdered, his death, because he would not bow down. He would not bow down to the associations, to the Illuminati, to the Jesuits. Now is a very critical time that they need someone to bow down to them. They need the ministers to. They need the ministers to follow them and to go along with what they want. And he was not about to do it. And they couldn't have someone like that run around preaching a true gospel whatsoever. So if you look at his death, and I've got some articles that, still out there that you'll find is very, very significant about pointing toward his death being a murder. Absolutely. And as a matter of fact, it's more likely that than anything. These people are serious. And so you say, well, why would God let it happen? To a world going to hell in a handbasket? He would take his people out. It's what he does. Took Enoch out before the flood, didn't he? That should ring a whole lot of bells. He took Lot and his family out before Sodom and Gomorrah. Took Noah out before the flood. Enoch out before the flood. Man, some bells ought to be going off pretty sound. That should be significant. Because God is consistent. Tonight, I'm going to talk about the enemy. Talk about the supernatural realm. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast. And then I'm going to discuss first that movie about the Son of God. That came out fairly recently. And I think it's got quite a few followers in it, in actuality. It's a plan I'm talking about tonight. I wanted to give some kind of rundown about this movie. Because in all cases, almost all cases, these movies are pretty much off track. And they come very close. No banana. They come very close, actually. and they don't really do justice. Matter of fact, a lot of them are fraudulent. Robert Powell, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Jesus of Nazareth, was a really good movie back in the 70s, though. Way back in the 70s. And it's one of the best movies made. But since then, not really, not anymore. Because Hollywood's depiction of the Bible has been absolutely horrific. And people take it as true. Or as close to true as they're going to get. And it's not so. Matter of fact, it's quite the opposite. And by design, just like the TVs. And TV shows. The scripted out versions. Everything in TV. Everything. Your Duck Dynasty? No, sir. No. No. They're linked up with Rick Warren. If they support him, then there's a problem. So many people come so close to the truth, and yet not. It's very misleading to people. Very misleading to those as touched by the Holy Spirit. Looking for help. Looking for a way to go. And they're not getting it. And unfortunately, this is by design. That's the bad part about it. It's by design. Careful, laid out design. Hollywood was meant to deceive. Placate, brainwash. Wash. And that's what it does. It's under the Star Group, controlled by Kissinger and Tavistock. Entertainment is under Harmony, Beauty, and the Arts, one of the Ashram Rays, they call it. That's correct. Entertainment is one of the 5 points of the Star Group, controlled by Kissinger, under the Tavistock Behavioral Think Tank. Oh, it's down and dirty. That's a fact, too. It's amazing how they got this set up. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast. Then we'll get down to it. And I won't talk tonight. And it could go in till tomorrow again, depending how far we get to talk about the enemy. The simple answer is taking Jesus as Savior and covering yourself in the blood of the Lamb. Seeking to sin no more through the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Denying self. Taking up your cross, and he says, follow me. That's the easy answer. But the hard answer is when you got 1 foot in the world and 1 foot out of the world, you might as well have both feet out of the world, out of the heaven, or out of the spirit and into the world. Then you can't have it both ways. It's got to be one or the other, one side of the fence or the other. There's no in between. I've been riding that fence for so long, and I realized that I got to quit. It's not easy. It's not easy. But it's never meant to be easy. This is where you are. This is what's going on. And my belief does not establish my reality. Unless, of course, you're a Star Trekkie and you're on a hologram, you can program it ever how you want. If you believe in that, it's fine. But the reality is, no. You don't. And even if it was a hologram, that's not reality anyway. It's holograms. Fake flesh, right? On Star Trek. You know, Roddenberry was a Freemason. And they created Star Trek for one purpose. To promote the New Age concept in the 60s and 70s. And to show you what they really got under a science fiction label. Oh, yeah. Family, they have these chambers, like ovens, but they're microwaves on steroids. And these chambers, or so I've been told, and allegedly by some down there, we'll say, is the real way that they're going to get rid of human beings. So unlike the Star Trek, beam me up, Scotty, what happens? They disarray their molecules. Family, the technology for voice to skull, where they talk to you in your head with microwave, I've got the study for that and the patent that goes back to 1973, almost 38 years ago, or give or take. Dr. Ralph Schwetzbell out of Harvard. So this disassembling your molecules is what they're planning to do when they want to get rid of their undesirables in the future, New World Order. The guillotines that they come up with on all these talk shows, oh, they got 15 guillotines. Oh, they got them. They got them. But what they're for is for fear inducement. So they'll bring up 10 that they've picked out, chop off their heads, and then everybody else in the square, you're to take the mark of the beast, give your allegiance to Lucifer, or die. Well, when they say, I'm going to rather die first, they'll put them in a place somewhere, and then they'll start putting them in these chambers. So when their molecules, of what I'm told, is disassembled, they just disappear. But they've disassembled by electromagnetic energy, like a microwave oven, disassembled them, and then when they're done, these drafts somehow clean out the air. And then workers go in and sweep up the fillings and the metal pieces and whatever else is left, because flesh, the frequency of flesh, has been identified and taken apart by molecule. So it would not affect metal and plastic and all that, which is not flesh. It would just be adjusted to the frequency vibration of flesh. Now, that knowledge being known, now you can understand, unless you already do, of how they have faked tribulation periods by the dead birds, the black, red-winged blackbirds. Notice that back a couple years ago, a year ago, your so-called prophets would say, oh, dead birds and dead cows everywhere. We're in the end times events and all that nonsense, Bagley and all the rest of them. Well, I'll tell you what. You notice they were all one type of species, except for a couple occasions. So it's all blackbirds with red wings. Now, why would God kill blackbirds with red wings? That's what they're assuming here, right? Well, God didn't. Tell that to these evangelists. He didn't do it. HARP did, because HARP had the identification of DNA frequency for the blackbird with the red wing, but nothing else. Aha. And that's how they find human beings, is by your DNA and your signature. Your DNA signature. Yep, that's how it works. And so they can induce a heart attack and all sorts of things. The technology is way beyond what they're telling you, way beyond. Let's dedicate the broadcast. Let's get started. I got a lot to tell you today, I think. I hope. I better. Lord, we thank you tonight. We were able to come together for Bible study. Thank you, Lord, for this network you've given us. Lord, we pray that tonight and rest of Bible studies and broadcast it, Lord, that you'll help us spread that word through your Holy Spirit. And Lord, to guide us too, when we witness to others, that Lord, you give us the right words, the opportunity, the courage, direction, and protection, Lord. Father, we come before you, and we pray for our brethren, for healing. We pray for our family members, Lord, to step in. And for the glory of yourself, Lord, glory of God, that you heal them, if that be your will, Lord, that you'll heal our family members that's been induced with these vaccines, with these man-made diseases. And Lord, to give us time, and give us time for reflection. Give us time, Lord, to witness to others. And Father, give us the words to speak when we have to witness. We're praying for our veterans returning. And Father, through your Holy Spirit, that you'll nullify the effects of these drugs and voice to skull, the technology that they have, and the chemtrails that destroy them in the way you do, Lord. But Father, give us wisdom, discernment to see what's getting ready to happen, that Father, we can share that knowledge with others of how imminent that the end times are approaching. And Father, to bring out of the other side, to bring out whistleblowers, Lord, that they'll step away and start blowing a whistle on the truth. And these things we pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, I'm going to tell you that now that they have control, and they do. See, Satan is prince of the air. He is prince of the air. He is god of this world, according to 1 Corinthians, Paul wrote. He's god of this world. But he's not king. And that's God with a little g. A big difference there. Sons of God, little g, are the fallen angels. Created beings. Not born of other angels, but created beings. No belly button, in other words. It didn't come in the usual way like Jesus did. Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. And no, Mary was not immaculate conceived at all. She's up there with him, I'm sure. But you can't pray to her because she's not going to hear your prayers. She is not divine. She didn't die on a cross. But she is the blessed mother of Jesus. The Son of God movie has pretty much was a movie produced by Roma Downey and her husband Mark, I believe it, Burnett. And Roma Downey is a New Ager pretending to be Christian. You can't do both. God help him, pray for him. Like it's like Oprah. You can't sit on the fence. You're either with Jesus Christ or you're not. He's going to read his true word to King James, which is no other, or you're not. All these other books with evidence, absolute evidence that they don't want to touch with a 10-foot pole. And when you start, if you know your Bible and you go back at him and say, well, look, this is, here's why, and here's the history of it. Then they get mad at you. That's called defense. Because they know they're wrong inside. It's not about really being right or wrong. It's about trying to show someone the right way through Jesus Christ to try to show them the right book to read in love. Not say, well, I'm right, you're wrong. It's like, well, this, you know, here's missing verses in these others. And here you have all the verses. Why is that even a matter of decision? You want a Bible with all the verses, or you want one that's missing a bunch of verses, about 200 NIV? Why is that even a decision? How do you even call that a decision? I'll never know. I think I would like a Bible with all the verses and the one inspired by God. I would kind of like that one better than the others. It just makes sense to me. I don't have to be a theologian to figure that one out. This movie, Son of God, a new movie produced by Roma Downey, a lot of Christian groups brought out multiple screens at theaters, and they had mass quantities of group tickets for this epic film, or epic fail of the true biblical story of Jesus. It's kind of like Harry Potter. Harry Potter book, I like to say that sometimes like that. Harry Potter. Well, Harry Potter is taught in some of the churches as kids getting together and how they interact and all that. What? You got to be kidding me. Are you serious? You see? You know, the History Channel promoted that abomination of miniseries, the Bible, and your ninja angels at Sodom and Gomorrah. It's extremely unbiblical series that came out. And when you promote something like that, you're promoting heresy. When you're reading the Bible that's corrupted, reading the Bible is corrupted, and doing good deeds, it gets you anywhere. It's very important to know. And from the research I've done, and research that people sent me, and looking over all of it, that movie is so fraught with mistakes and missing scripture, it's unbelievable. And they smoothly go into it, just like the corrupted Bibles of today. People don't pay attention. I just yet to understand that. I really have. When you're reading it and you see the verse gone, I just sometimes can't get over it. Why is it even a decision? But in any case, in this movie, it was pretty much a gripping movie, emotionally engaging, and as all of them would be, because they're good actors and actresses and all that. The picturegraphy, the cinematography, whatever, it was really good. And it'll touch your emotions to a certain extent. So when Jesus came to the Sea of Galilee, rather than call his four disciples, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, he called only one disciple, Peter. But rather than call Peter and Andrew from the boat while they were fishing, like it says, Jesus pleads and he says, Peter, just give me an hour and I'll give you a whole new life. I say, what? I must be in conversation with God, part two. He asks Jesus, well, Peter takes him fishing where Jesus works a miracle, provides him with an abundance of fish, of course. And then Peter asks him, what are you going to do? And Jesus says, change the world. But in the real Bible, Jesus doesn't beg anybody to spend time with him. He's the Lord and has all the authority to command whom he wants and what he wants. So he commands Peter and Andrew to follow him, and they immediately leave their boat and the nets and obey Jesus' command. Just as all the apostles who were commissioned by Christ, by Jesus Christ, and for them to go into the world to make disciples. It's called the Great Commission. Learners. He didn't tell anybody he's going to change the world. He also didn't ask for their help to do so. You see, Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners from the righteous wrath of God. Because it's coming down on this earth for 3.5 years. The last 3.5 years, the first half of the 3.5 year tribulation is all Satan doing what he can before he knows his time is short. The last 3.5 years of the 7-year tribulation is God's wrath on this earth. in seven trumpets. The seventh trumpet brings seven bold judgments, and each one is worse than the next. In order, hadn't happened yet. Calvinist and preterist are incorrect when they say it's already happened. They can't give you a date. So Jesus Christ came to this world, family, to save sinners from the righteous wrath of God. That means you're not appointed to wrath. That means, just as he took out Noah, just as he took out Sodom and Gomorrah, just as he saved Daniel from the lions, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he saved them. So, will be the rapture of some kind or protection somewhere in the 3.5 years before the first trumpet. That is the wrath of God. So whether it's mid-tribulation or whatever, but listen, don't get caught up in this of debate. So it's like, where are you from, America? Or are you from, where are you from? Well, you see, so here's how it goes. So are you a pre-tribber, a mid-trib, or are you just a post-trib? It's like you're supposed to fit in a category. Well, let's see. I'm a pre-tribber. Oh, you really? Oh, he's a pre-tribber over here. Yeah, we're all mid-tribulation. We're all mid-tribbers. You pre-trib, you go away. And what are you? I believe it's post-trib. Oh, really? So you got three groups now. Somebody's got to be wrong. You got number four. No trib. Well, I belong to number five. You probably knew I'd say that, didn't you? I belong to number five. You know what group that number five is? It's the I don't know trib. I don't know when the rapture is. That's my group. I don't know. And you know what's funny? Yeah, funny sort of peculiar. Neither do they. First, got to ask them, when's the tribulation? I don't know. If you don't know when the tribulation is going to be at all, then how do you know if it's pre-trib, mid-trib, or post-trib? You don't. So you post-tribber. Yes, that's me. If you're not appointed to wrath, then how come you're going to be going through the tribulation? Oh, okay, that's what I thought. So now you got mid-trib and you got pre-trib. Somewhere there's a middle. The fifth seal, maybe the rapture occurs or supernaturally move to an area of protection. I don't know. But here's my point, finally. It's forget all this rapture nonsense. Because that is God's business, not our business. We don't know. If he wanted us to know, he'd have told us in the scripture. Nobody knows because God don't want people to know. Has ever dawned on anybody that God set it up to where you'll know when it happens, but you won't know when? Let's say I have the knowledge in the Bible. I was one of these whiz bangers, and you figured it out. You got the blood moons and all that nonsense, 3 days of darkness, tabernacle. You got all figured out. You got your square rule. Oh, yeah. Slide rule? You don't have any more, do you? No, you don't. Oh, litmus paper? You don't have it either. No, you don't. That's telling my age, isn't it? Yeah. So you can't figure it out. Let's say you did figure it out. Well, you get the Nobel Peace Prize. Maybe a Rhodes Scholarship. I don't know. Just throw it all out there because you figured out when the rapture is going to happen, which the Bible says nobody knows the day or the hour. So you figured out the tribulation. Yeah, they've always tried, but they always fail. But let's say you did. Well, then I know I can sin up to that time, don't I? And I wait till a couple of days before the rapture, and I'll sin all the way up to the day. God, on 2 days. Okay, I got 2 days, so I better quit today. I better quit sinning today. Yeah, well, tomorrow's rapture. Y'all getting ready for the rapture? Oh, it's going to be tomorrow? Rapture tickets today, come up here. You see? No, sir. Nobody knows. Why read the stupid books? While listening to the idiotic CDs. Because they never tell you They have no idea. Hagee's book is absolutely wrong. The blood moons, nonsense, has been debunked. The 3 days of darkness, you will not find that in the Bible. Don't buy the book. Because it's nonsense. And they never come to conclusion. However, could they orchestrate something by using harp? Uh-huh. It ain't going to come from God. But they could orchestrate their nonsense. That's going to fool a lot of Christians. So you know that there's no 3 days of darkness. You know all the other. And you say when it happens, 3 days of darkness, you know it's not of God. So you don't get all excited. Everybody else going, oh, we're, you know. You just like, uh-huh. Martha, get out the popcorn and Coke. Let's watch the action. But in the meantime, bring that Bible over here too. Because you're going to need it. The deadly serious part of this is what I'm going to talk about. And that's when he's releasing the demons. When God removes that protective hedge, it's going to get real serious. Because a lot of people are going to die. And a lot of them that think they're Christian are going to start yelling out the name of Yeshua when they see these demons. And they're coming. And they're not aliens at all. When God removes his protective hedge, you see Nephilim, those giants, as in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the end times. They're coming. Now they're starting to let you know. That's why your controlled opposition, Marzulli, Dizdar, Tom Horn, Quayle, all these others, Springmeyer, I can say it now, I know for a fact, Skit, Rob Sheba, family, they are against the King James, and if you have the Holy Spirit in you, there's no way possible. If you don't have the Holy Spirit in you, you're going to be against the King James Bible. The Holy Spirit will not go against its own word. It's that simple. And the King James Bible, irrefutably, with evidence, is the only true word of God on the face of the planet. And that I've proven, talked about, showed y'all, even today. The Son of God movie. Christ came into the world to save sinners from the righteous wrath of God. And that's where I ended it on that part. You're not appointed to wrath. In all cases, it's not happened. Are you going to be persecuted? Oh, yeah. Yes, you are. Souls under the altar at the fifth seal. That's in the first 3.5 years will be the martyrdom of those that take Jesus Christ as Savior and refuse to submit to the mark of the beast. 13 disciples? No. Although at the Pentecost there's 120. But the 12 disciples, it seems to ring a bell. Peter, Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, Thaddeus, Simon, and Judas. And in the film, they've got 13 apostles. And the 13th apostle is a woman named Mary. Ah, what do you know? The Gospel of Mary, Gospel of Thomas, Gospel of Judas, and there's another couple of Gospels, are Gnostic. Not of God whatsoever, and not of the disciples whatsoever, and not lost books of the Bible. Because they don't belong in the Bible. That's why they're not lost. They know where they are. They just say they're lost books of the Bible, and these are the lost books of Gnostics. No, they're not lost, because you got them in front of you. It just means they don't belong there, that's all. I guess I'm kind of on a roll tonight. I don't know. You know, it just befuddles me. I'm not a theologian, but this is easy stuff. She's always with them in this movie. She's with them in the boat during the storm. That never happened in the Bible. When Jesus walks on the water, she's with him when they travel privately through the scriptures. Jesus pulled aside and taught only the 12 men, but Mary is very outspoken. Of course, women's lib and feminist movement funded by the Rockefellers, gotta have it now, y'all. Mary is also not only outspoken, but she rebukes the men or the male apostles to have more faith. As with a parent, her faith is stronger naturally. And you know, during the crucifixion, when Jesus is being jeered by the crowd, Mary defends Jesus and shouts, "Leave him be." Much braver than the male apostles, naturally, who never speaks up or do anything heroic or faithful. Then when Jesus is resurrected, she's the first and only woman to go to the empty tomb. In Scripture, there's three women go to the tomb early in the morning and are greeted by angels who remind them that Jesus said he would rise on the third day in the movie. She and the apostles remembered all this on their own. And here comes Lazarus. He rises with more than one command. If you go to the scriptures, Jesus purposely delays from going to see Lazarus when he is ill. He wanted him to die because he knew he's going to be glorified, that they would see. Kind of a preparation that Jesus knew was coming for himself. 3 days dead, you're not coming back. Did you know back in the days of medieval period, they, you know, had diseases that were just really weird. I don't know. All kinds of red death, black death. Family, they didn't have coroners back then. So if someone either passed out or some kind of spell or I don't know, whatever, he's dead. And they'd quickly bury them. They found out down the road a large number of people weren't dead. And they'd come back to life. And they're 6 feet under. So then when they realized, because they saw the scratches on the coffins of ones they exhumed. They would first set up 3 days awake to see if they'd wake up. Number two, they would have a hole of some sort through the casket with a string tied to the wrist and a bell. Ring your bell. Ring my bell. Okay. Ring the bell. So if I wake up, oh, man, ding, 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 ding. Like an alarm clock, man. Yeah. Four days, is when you're supposed to get a little bit stiff and you'll start smelling bad. That's rigor mortis. So Jesus waited, been dead 4 days. You know he's dead then. So when Jesus arrives, he's greeted by Martha. As one of Lazarus' sisters, it says, "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died," in Scripture. And Martha confesses that Jesus is the Christ, Jesus Christ. And she believes she'll see her brother on the last day, the resurrection. But Jesus tells her that he is the resurrection and the life. Now, shortly after telling her this, now, he comes to the tomb. He weeps. He cries. Then from the outside of the tomb, Jesus Christ commands his Lazarus, "Come out," or "Come forth." His face is wrapped in a cloth and the rest of his body wrapped in thin strips. And Lazarus obeys Christ and comes out of the tomb. Now, there's some hyperbole and examples of this that when he asked them to remove the stone, when you know Jesus could have removed it himself, he asked them to remove the stone. He calls forth with a loud voice for Lazarus to come back from the dead, to come out. Sometimes that's taught that Jesus could remove the stone and could have just brought any way he wanted to Lazarus out. Couldn't Jesus have just waved his hand dramatically like in a Hollywood script and the stone would explode? That would have been really great, wouldn't it? On TV, you know. Bam! Wow, look at that. Or he could wave his hand like Harry Potter and the stone would move on over. You like the sound effects? And move on over on its own. Wow! But he didn't do that. He told them to move the stone. Oh, okay, let's go. And I start grunting. And Jesus is sitting there watching. He's crying. You know he's crying? Because he sees everybody else crying. And their pain, number one, hurts him. But another reason he's crying in the scripture is because of his knowing that they don't believe he's the Son of God. Because they're crying. But they should say, oh, Jesus is here. He'll bring him back from the dead because he's the Son of God. No, not at all. They were chastising Jesus. Why weren't you here sooner? He's like, they still don't believe. And you see, and they're tearing their clothes, doing whatever they do, and I don't know, whatever. He's crying for them, not Lazarus. But in this movie, the true Son of God, the fake Jesus, Sananda Manuel, I had to throw that in there, as disciples are walking through a crowd, and Mary, the 13th disciple, happens to see Martha weeping and ask her what's wrong. And Martha says that Lazarus has died. Jesus is surprised, which he often is throughout the film, and asked to be taken to the tomb. So when he gets there to the tomb, he goes into it this time with Martha. Now, don't you know, it smelled bad, if that was the truth. He touches Lazarus, whose face is not wrapped too, by the way, cradles his head, weeps, kisses the back of his head, quotes some scripture, and gently suggests that Lazarus rise. And when he does, Martha and Lazarus embrace, and the three of them emerge from the tomb, and the crowd cheers, while Martha's holding her nose with her other hand. Boy, you need a bath. You know, the scene was performed like a football player is exiting a tunnel and under the home field. More so than it was a truly majestic and awesome scene that would be depicted in the scripture. You see, Jesus calls to us in a loud voice. He tells us to move the stone, our heart, from covering our heart, to move the stone away to open up to him. Then he calls out to us with a loud voice, come forth now. So for us from the dead to come forth to eternal life. It's part of what that means as well. As in all the parts of this movie, it shows the bankruptcy of Jesus' power as authority over life and death is not there. And destruction of the temple, not one stone left. Well, if you go to scripture, one of the disciples are marveling at the architecture of the temple, and Jesus says, do you see these great buildings? There will not be left one stone upon another that will not be thrown down. But in the movie, no one's marveling at anything at all. Rather, when Jesus sees a little girl in the crowd, he kneels down to her and smiles and chuckles and playfully pokes her and giggles as Jesus quotes scripture. Filmmakers in this thing, Hollywood is not Hollywood. Hollywood's a magic wand. The filmmakers here take this powerful and frightening prophecy that comes true and turns it into a light, kind of a cute little exchange with a little girl. Oh, rop-de-doo. Talks about Jesus convincing Judas to betray him. Jesus has never shown humbling himself and serving disciples, one of the lowliest servants. The Great Commission is horrible. Jesus never mentions the just penalty of sin. It just gets ugly from there on. And even Jesus visited the Apostle Paul, John, on the Isle of Patmos. Well, you know, if anyone, somebody called you, called to you and suggested you come out of your comfortable home to take you to a more comfortable, elegant home, you might think that's nice. Well, wouldn't you consider this to be great news or even an impossibility generous gift? What's the essential message of the film is a gift of eternal life. But if you were in a burning inferno and someone called you with the instructions on how to be saved from this horrible, painful, terrifying death, you would consider this person to be a great savior and would have the greatest news you've ever heard. And you'd listen to him as gospel, the true good news of Jesus Christ. See, we're all in kind of a burning, destructive inferno of our sins till we're washed by the pure and precious blood of Jesus. And we're all covered with the ash of our sins until we're baptized into Christ and made new creations where you're different. You act different. Listen to different music. It just happens. You have new hearts, new minds. If you don't, there'd be something wrong. And just saying the words of the salvation prayer ain't going to get it. There's no evidence of this glorious truth anywhere in the movie. No evidence of God's authority, righteousness, or his saving and powerful love that he had for us, has for us, actually, that continually conforms us into the likeness of Christ. Yet people are experts about it. You remember Ham and Nye? I kind of want to call it Ham and Rye. The debate of Ham and Rye? Nye? I say that they're partners. See, no human being can debate the Word of God with another. It's impossible. It's impossible for a human being. I don't care whether it's some theological professor in Harvard or any other, Oxford, it don't make a pope, it don't matter who it is, not one human being ever lived can debate the Word of God. Because the supernatural is beyond the dimensional capacity of a human being to understand. It's impossible. So yet we have these debaters that's going to debate the Word of God and not having any clue about what really, how many dimensions that God has. It's impossible. So how do you debate the Bible, if you have any sense at all? Well, if you're on the side of Lucifer, and you're pretending to be contrary to each other, hey, that might be a way. Because what you're doing is allowing the other debater to defame the Word of God while you flounder around. So if you win, you lose. You lose, you lose. It's a losing situation when you set up the conditions necessary for the other person to blaspheme and speak out against the Word of God. You are responsible because you are debating with these people. We can't debate. Well, Bill Rye and Ham is building in the ark. Isn't he doing that? You know something about building an ark or something? Under the guise of proving it? No. He's building it to show it can't be done. That's how they do it. They're partnerships. To take down the Word of God. And to put doubt in the credibility of the Bible. And people are secretly looking for some doubt to believe the Bible. Because they know the Bible convicts. They don't like that. People don't like that. I don't like it. That's my problem. Because now I've accepted it. That the Bible corrects me. Not me correct the Bible. But the Bible corrects me. Now, last week, we talked about the principalities of the demonic realm. And you know, in the, I believe it's Ephesians, and everybody, you know, you read it, you know, if I got this right here, Ephesians 6. I got it memorized. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Notice it says, for we wrestle on this earth. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. But what did Adam say to his wife, with then became his wife, in the Old Testament? Your bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. Wait a minute. Oh, whoa, wait a minute. How come he didn't say, but you're flesh and blood? Because they didn't have blood when they were eternal. They only had flesh and bone. You don't need blood when you're eternal. Before they bit the apple thing going on? Yeah. When they took a bite of that apple, or pomegranate, or some other fruit that doesn't even exist anymore, the act of disobedience was what got them kicked out. And they began to die. But God allowed them to live a long life. But their bodies got older. That means they started to die. They were the first blood sacrifice. They lived longer to repopulate the earth. God didn't say, there's two. Well, I got to destroy you and create two more. And he didn't do that. It's like you say when you have a baby, well, I don't like this one. Let's get rid of that one and give me another one. What? It didn't work that way. See, you're God's baby. You're God's children. He's not going to start over again. That's important to know. So when I read this scripture, if we wrestle not against flesh and blood, because now this is human, right? Yeah, after the Garden of Eden. But against principalities, I kept saying, what in the dickens is a principality? You keep hearing it in Bible studies, eschatology and all this. What are principalities? Okay, I found them. Now, they were talked about in that last week, but to go over it very quickly, principalities are the high-ranking principalities of hell as taught to witches. Fallen angels of a general ranking structure control each of the principality. And as a matter of fact, on this here earth, they also consistently have what's called in the New Age terminology, and the way Satan has this world set up, is the Ashram rays, R-A-Y-S, are subjects of study. In other words, seven high-ranking fallen angels control the seven principalities. The seven other angels also, worldwide, control education, protocol, philosophy, religion, science, all science. harmony, beauty in the arts, painting, dancing, singing, all that. Politics and finance. As in their construction, they use the secret societies and humankind as their subjects to control all those areas. Satan is prince of this world. He's not king. I was talking today about education, about the death education. Now you know it's under education. Satan controls it for now. It's all a conspiracy tied together under one conspiracy. I got people right now on Facebook saying, oh, this crazy guy, you know, there's no conspiracy. It's all, but they won't look at the evidence. They run like a roadrunner, Mimi. And there he goes. Down the road he goes. You see? Very quickly, these principalities work together, but they're specific. And you have demons assigned to each one as in a military organization. Reggie, R-E-G-E, is a general of the occult, fallen angel. He deals with drugs, marijuana, hash, cocaine, speed, peyote, mescaline, drugs of sorcery, changes DNA. The bath salts, when you've seen people in methamphetamines, whatever, their whole body changes. It changes DNA. I mean, that's clear as cut. It's very drawn out. Pharmakia. Pharmakia is Greek for sorcery. Oh, boy. So, Reggie, drugs. Lars, L-A-R-Z. Now, that's the demon of sexual lust, homosexuality, adultery, bisexuality, other sexual pleasures not ordained by God or blessed by God. It's just the way it is. Got to make your mind up. A relationship is, it's better to remain single. But it says in the Bible, because you're here to worship God. However, if you can't contain yourself, the Bible says, then you marry instead of having lust. People are going to have to account for this time they're messing around. I know. I'm as guilty as they can only come. But some of these things I've learned. Because of the Pentecost and the Holy Spirit, that came down to dwell in each and every person. If I look upon a woman in lust, I have as much as committed adultery already. That's in Matthew's. Already in my heart. If I look at someone's car, I say, man, I'd like to take that car. I have committed the act of theft. As if I'd already done it. Yep. Demon of lust. Your pornography and all that sort of thing. Perverse spirit. Three is Bacchus. Bacchus, B-A-C-C-H-U-S, is the third principality. Is a demon of all addictions. Drugs, smoking, alcohol. Family, let me put it like this. Let me be more specific. Your energy is operating on hertz. Not amps, but hertz. You're an energy source in your pineal gland. That's your personality and character. It's contained within a spiritual sense. The fallen angels are orbs. Their demons are like little specks of light, but they're energy. Your body is like a vehicle that they occupy. Head butt with the Dalai Lama transfers a demonic entity to that person. Oh, yeah, it does. Bible talks about demonic entities. Now, you're also one. You're not a demonic entity, no, but you are a spiritual being inside a flesh body. So, that's where the addictions can work with the other principalities. Addiction and work with Reggie for the drugs or whatever. And they cooperate as an army. So here's the point. Each one of these, like smoking, drugs, and alcohol, has a particular frequency, vibration, just like you want to find the drug radio station. No, I like it. Go smoking radio station, another degree. So when your desire to want to smoke, desire to lust, it changes your DNA. It changes your frequency vibration to the green light, and that demon with the same frequency vibration comes inside. It's like a green light, come on in. But my frequency vibration for homosexuality ain't going to happen. So the demon with the vibration equal to the homosexuality won't see a green light for him to come in, because that's not my way. But that don't mean I don't have other frequency vibrations. So while they're using technology of HARP, the microchip, the tattoo on your body, they've able to synthesize, to make synthetically demonic possession by electromagnetic energy projections. How about that? And those hooked on cigarettes are victims of workings of demons and don't realize going to church don't get it. That's why people say, yeah, man, I got saved. I kind of quit smoking because that demon's gone. Dowsers are possessed. Seances, crystal balls, all that stuff. Family, it's a supernatural world we live in. It's real. Going back to Lars, the sexual pleasures, homosexuality, sex is a major, major means of opening up a portal to your body, allowing demonic entities to come inside to be your guardian. Won't be a god, that's for sure. So you've got Reggie, general of the occult, dealing with drugs, marijuana, hash, cocaine. Then you have Lars, is sexual lust. Then you have Bacchus, which is addictions. They work together. Fourth one is Pan, P-A-N, a demon of the mind. Causes mental illnesses, depression, suicide. There you go. Has a certain equal vibrate. Oh. Vibration. So that means if they can copy the frequency vibration of Pan and project that to the troops that are targeted and then put those voice-to-skull technology, they can coax them into commit suicide because that vibration, where does it come from? HARP. Hey, target one person by DNA and a microchip. Or the town by covering a certain grid square. And by going to 6.6 hertz. Oh, my goodness. That would equal the same frequency as Pan. Would also allow possession. Pan causes you to become depressed under that ELF. So you go to Rege, the demon of the occult, allowing him to possess because your portals are open. Rege would come in manually. Whoa! And so at that point, that's how they do it. You know Dr. Jack Kevorkian? Knows he's in league with Pan. Oh, yeah. Rowling, who wrote Harry Potter, she's a witch. I don't mean this in a derogatory manner. I could say somebody's a baker, but she's in witchcraft. In America, we have more than one addiction. Depends what frequency of vibration you're on. The fifth one is medit, M-E-D-I-T, is a demon of hate, murder, killing, war, jealousy, envy, and gossip. My goodness. Because that means, then synthetically then, medit would be 10 hertz or 11 hertz as opposed to 6.6 of pan. So if that's exactly how it works, son of a gun. So medit would have the frequency of 10 to 11 hertz. That's a result of road rage behavior. That's middle, above middle of Schumann resonance of 7.8 is the earth resonance of normalcy. A demon with 10 frequency higher hertz comes inside because you're angry, mad. Oh, I'm going to punch that sucker out. Your frequency vibration changes to 11 or 10 hertz. When you kill somebody, hope you don't do that, or you rape, or you're angry, you're beating the dickens out of somebody, or you're in mixed martial arts and you're beating the dickens out of somebody, and you're really ticked off, your frequency vibration changes to 10 hertz or 11. So now they can mask that, match it. That's how they do it. All gone. The sixth one is Set, demon of death. There really is such a thing. Wars, terrorism, murder, raging throughout the world. The 20th century has been the most violent and bloody in the world history by design. Set, the temple Set was created by Michael Kino from the Pentagon. Number seven is a Christian demon. Has no real set name, is very powerful that most witches won't even bother him. It's getting Christians to talk about each other through gossiping and causing strife. This is different than correcting and rebuking. Gossiping is a whole lot different. He'll also try to weaken the Christian's walk with the Lord by making him content, placating him. Like Freemasons that take the blood oath, the successful, because Satan placates them, makes them believe that they're blessed, and they're absolutely not. It's impossible when you take the blood oath against God. They're going to bless you. They'll hear, Lord, Lord, did we not heal? Did we not speak in tongues and all this? And Jesus will say, depart from me, I never knew you. You workers of iniquity. Woof. That's the seven major divisions of hell and what each division is responsible for to make things happen here on earth. As you allow it, because you turn away from God. When you turn away from Him, He backs up from you. You want to go back to Him, guess what? He's there. He's there to receive you. But when you die, it's too late. There's no, well, when I die, I kind of, my supernatural way, I kind of, you know, God's got a sense of humor anyway. Well, no, I don't. Would you have a sense of humor if you sacrificed your child from somebody else? I don't think so. Come on, Lord, it's only a little white lie. Come on, give me a break. Nothing like it's like a black lie or an out-and-out lie. It's just a little white one. Come on. While I uncross my fingers. It don't work that way. That's the seven principalities. You know, you got about 15 minutes to go. I can say I'm going to run into this tomorrow. That's okay. There's a lack of understanding about the demons and who they really are. The shadow people, the stick men, all kinds of silly names. But your manifestation of demons, there's no such thing as aliens. How come these theologians, Billy Graham says there are aliens, there's not. How do you account? You got to account for it. You got to account for original sin. So how is it that God accounts for original sin for those 50 different species in the known galaxy? How's that happen? Does each one of them have their own Adam and Eve in every planet? Can you imagine Adam and Eve as reptilian or some other kind of creature? They all have to have. Are we the only cursed planet in the universe? No, there's no aliens. They're fallen angels from a second heaven and demons. That's what they are. So by using witchcraft, alchemy, they can manifest them on this plane of existence. Demons can talk. They can talk through a person's faculties, through which they have possessed, just like your spirit or you talk through your own tongue and vocal cords. A lot of singers and movie stars call them their alter ego. That Beyonce, I think, in one interview, I heard her, says that she's really kind of a shy person in a way. When she gets up on the stage, she becomes possessed. That's what she says. And she gives a name to Sasha, something like that. She says she couldn't dance like that by herself, so she gets Sasha to take over the body. That's out now, not on a tabloid, but on an interview. They're up front about it. Katy Perry, too, all of them. That's where their skills come from. It's like a dowser. Oh, yeah. Because they use movies to then use the actors as governors and presidents and whatever else. You see how it works? Well, demons talk through the throat, through the portals. You know, demons are also intelligent. You know, when Jesus met two demon-possessed men coming from among the tombs, he was about to cast them out, but they cried out, the demons did, "What have we do to thee, Jesus, thou Son of God?" They knew who Jesus was. "Art thou come hither to torment us before the time, before the hour, before the time?" They knew that the end time was coming because they know the scripture. That's why God isn't letting us see when the rapture is going to happen. Matthew 8:29. You know, demons know that the lake of fire was prepared for the devil and his angels. And that day will come when the devil will be cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Revelation 20, verse 10. Preachers say no. Bible says, yeah. I'll take yeah. The fearful and the unbelieving will be targeted. The abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars. You know, demons also know that day's coming. It's every day they'll be tormented, and they won't die. But you know, these demons are like little soldiers, ranking structure, and they operate in such a fashion in the supernatural realm. They're intelligent, and they know they are being taken in the presence of God's word and God's servant who has power and authority over them. So what I've said so far, you can probably understand a little bit better why some many are totally deaf, why they are. People have been completely healed, but while sitting or standing in audience as the word of God was being preached. Even though the deaf person could not hear the sermon, yet the deaf spirit knew his defeat was certain, fearing to stand in the presence of the word of God and of God's anointed servant. It fled and left the body it had possessed. That's called overshadowing or channeling. Three different levels. I've talked about that before. And you know, the deaf person could then hear because the demons is causing it. They're intelligent. But you know, they also resist surrender. The demons actually profess to worship Christ, evidently seeking to prevent the Lord from being too stern with them. Jesus made a command for them to come out of the man. Luke 8:29. Christ demanded them, "What's thy name?" The demons then responded, "My name is Legion, for we are many." So, when Jesus insisted they depart, the demons horrified because he expelled them from the habitation in the man's body. And this legion of demons possessed the maniacs tried to bargain further. The case is also with insanity. Demons can call for reinforcements, called a strong man. They can occupy by themselves or united with others. It's massive when you do this study, but all you got to know is not to take Jesus Christ as Savior. That's the bottom line. It's taking him as Savior. And to sin against the body, whether it's homosexual, fornication, or adulterer, idolater, in the sight of God, condemns us. It does. I've been there. I mean, I'm not innocent. But I have to talk about it. Oh, yeah, it does. It convicts me when I talk about it, but I have to. Because I've been there. And other people have, too. I've lived with somebody before. I'll never do that again. I've done it all. Not homosexuality, no. But everything else, so I'm not innocent by no stretch of the imagination. So I can't really talk about this unless I kind of mention that. I don't want somebody to get the wrong word, the wrong thought that I'm, you know, some righteous man. I'm trying awful hard to be. But God takes away your former self, little by little. But this is a training ground for us now. And there's something to be said about marrying someone of your same culture, someone your same language. Although they'll have trouble in the flesh, a black man and white woman, or Indian and white, or Indian and black, or Indian and Oriental, whatever. You know, it's not a unforgivable sin, but family, God separated us from the beginning, but to love each other. But here's the rub of it. Satan's trying to bring people back together, and literally by DNA. Now, I've talked about this before, and I'm sorry, but it's in their planning process. And if I want to mention that, I got to give you the evidence. I can't just leave it hanging. Because their plan, and I'll tell you why it's that way. Now, the racists have taken upon this plan and caused it to have us fight each other. But see, Satan wants to bring us together. That God divided us at the Tower of Babel. Here's the reason why. In Red Fog Over America by William G. Carr, talks about merging the nations into an international state, world order. He says, quote, "The agentur of the Illuminati will next proceed to eradicate characteristics by mixing the black, red, yellow, and white races. This experiment has already been carried out on a large scale. And Dr. Brock Chisholm has advocated on the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation that, quote, by mixing the races, all racial problems would disappear." You see, Jesus Christ is going to have a one world order. But it's benevolent. Satan's going to have a one world order. It's malevolent. That's what's going on today. That's what's happening. You're set free through the blood of Jesus and doing the right thing. And there's those out there that are starting to feel that Holy Spirit moving their lives. So if you're different cultures, for example, back on track, you're going to have a different way of looking at things. You're going to have a different history background of your family. Kids are going to look different. Now, for me, I don't personally carry the way. I'm not going to get into this anti-Semitic, racist, Christian identity, racist garbage they're into. All that's satanic and all of it's just Kenyism and all kinds of nonsense. I'm just telling you what they're doing and how they're using it. That's all I'm telling you. If people marry outside their race or whatever, you'll have trouble in the flesh, but God will forgive you. And you just have to deal with it and be together with Jesus Christ every day to get through the challenges you'll face. Okay. But be prepared for challenges. He forgives all sins. But the bottom line is, God promises, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. And your joint chief of staff, the Americanos, they're not getting it, man. They're not getting it. But they're going to get it supernaturally. Why doesn't God answer our prayers? Well, I'll talk about that more tomorrow, but to give you kind of an idea, it's when we refuse His Son as our Savior. When we are backslidden. Saved, but we're not obedient to His Word. He's not going to answer your prayers. When our faith is wavering, like Mother Teresa did. Right to the day she died, her faith was shaken. Badly. When your faith is misplaced, idol worship and whatever, those kind of things. When you ask it for selfish reasons, an answer to a prayer. Or when you pray with unforgiveness in your own heart toward your fellow man. If I come back from Iraq and Afghanistan and other places or whatever, and I really hate people over there and all this, but I'm praying for God to help me, He's not going to help you. He's not going to be there to stop you from committing suicide. He's not there. Because you have unforgiveness in your own heart. Just like the forgive our debts as others forgive our debts. Huh? There you go. When you pray with unforgiveness in your hearts toward your fellow man, very significant. When you're impatient. When your prayer is contrary to God's will. When it's not for your own good. And last, when your prayers are cold. You're praying, but it's not there. Your emotions are not there. Your desire is not there. Well, family, we're at the end of the program tonight. And I still got a whole slew of things. Taking Jesus Christ as Savior. If you've got generations back Freemasons in your family, you're going to need deliverance. And to study up on deliverance. Because that's what you're going to need. And then you become born again. But become born again. You got to take Jesus as Savior. Family, we're at the end here tonight. And know that the Christian life is warfare. The day you're born, we call it a hot LZ, landing zone. Well, when you're born, you landed in a hot LZ. From the day you're born till now. God's serious about this. My beliefs do not establish my future, nor my reality. They might establish your future, now to think about it, but they don't establish your reality. Your thoughts do not establish your reality. But taking Jesus Christ as Savior, it could affect your future. Family, I appreciate y'all dropping by tonight. We're going to close out, and then tomorrow, 4 o'clock to six. I do want to remind you all that we're played up in highpointradio.net, highpointradio.net, one word, highpointradio.net. John Kirkler, his email is highpointradio@yahoo.com. It's highpointradio@yahoo.com. And also, KBLU Radio, with Thomas there, and Blue Raven Network. Family, appreciate y'all dropping by. Lord, we thank you tonight for this Bible study. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ, our Savior. Father, we thank you for the King James Bible. Father, bless us as we move along and give us opportunities, Lord, to spread the gospel and learn ourselves and work together. We pray for future more broadcasts and Bible studies. We pray for those around us, for healings. Mentally and physically and spiritually. Guide us and keep us, Lord. In this thing we pray. Amen. Well, family, right there. And I appreciate y'all coming back here today. And you put up with me in the afternoon, some of you. Others, I don't know. I'll put up the archives. And you can draw down on them anytime you want. And I'm about done with that HPV study. Still got some highlighting to do and some other things, but it's about done. Family, look up and live, because they've lost. But you're all going to get hit hard with family members, loved ones. Some of them not even knowing. They're going to be used to pull you down. In your own way, pray for them all. But don't fall away, last to the end, about Jesus. And when you become attacked, when you get attacked, reverse it and use it for a victory. But know where it's coming from now. All kinds of different directions. And to live that righteous life, it's not easy, but it's never meant to be. Y'all have a good night. And we'll see you tomorrow at 4 o'clock. This is the Watchman for Jesus signing off. And good night. God bless.
Shining out from him like sunlight from the sky. Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet release. And every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.
good night, God bless, and the station will continue on with its 24-hour loop. Y'all sleep well tonight. Good night.